Hey, what's up? It's Ben Greenfield. Get ready for a really entertaining podcast with a guy whose name I will reveal shortly, if that's mysterious enough for you.
Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
By the 10th week, I was filling my bathtub full of about 8 to 10 bags of ice, and I could sit there, you know, 20 minutes up to my neck in ice water and not even shiver. It was just insane, and I felt better than I ever did. Like, I was operating on a different level. It was amazing.
The forest environment promoted lower concentrations of cortisol, lower pulse rate, lower blood pressure, greater parasympathetic nerve activity, just from sitting around the trees.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and my guest on today's show was actually named by Time Magazine as one of the top 25 most influential people on the web. I'm not quite sure what that means, but he was definitely ranked as that. He's also actually been ranked as the top 25 angel investors, or one of the top 25 angel investors by Bloomberg. He serves on the advisory board of Google Ventures and the Tony Hawk Foundation. So obviously he pulls a lot of sway when it comes to both internet and skateboarding. He founded Dig. He founded Revision 3. He was the general partner at Google Ventures. And perhaps most interesting for me and for you, and perhaps not as well known to a lot of folks, is that he also considers himself to be a pretty well-versed body hacker. And I can attest to the fact that that is the case after listening to a few podcasts that he has done with another previous podcast guest, Tim Ferriss, because my guest today is Kevin Rose, who actually co-hosts a show called The Random Show with Tim Ferriss. And he's frequently experimenting with things like cold water training and breath work and nootropics and ketogenic diets and meditation and fasting and all manner of hacking efforts that we're actually going to discuss on today's show. He's actually even recently released a free app, which I'm going to put in the show notes for you guys to go check out. And the show notes, by the way, are going to be over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kevin. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kevin. And this free app is designed to help people track their fasting, which might be top of mind for you if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, which is just about right after the time you've probably polished off your last holiday cookie and maybe sucked down that last little bit of special whiskey that you got for Christmas. So Kevin is a wealth of information. We're honored to have him on the show. He's an investor. He's a podcaster. He's a self-experimenter. He's a cool dude. Kevin, welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
Ben, thank you for having me on. I'm a huge fan of yours. Been listening for a long time. I have to say, I love your podcast because you guys are not afraid to tackle pretty much any and every subject. Like a lot of cool woo-woo stuff I actually like, which
yeah.
is that's actually a compliment.
Woo-woo and orifices, ears, eyes, buttholes. We stick stuff anywhere and then report on what happens.
It's awesome. It's awesome because I find that a lot of the best science actually comes out of these little tiny things that we once thought were woo-woo, but, you know, actually prove out to be something real. So it's good. Good to
exactly.
be on.
Yeah, these little tiny things. Like you were telling me that that you were experimenting with microdosing with lithium, speaking of little things that seem to actually produce pretty big results. Is that the case? Are you actually using lithium as a nootropic?
Yeah, I have been for a while. So, you know, I think that it's a real shame that lithium tends to be thought of as this just substance for people with bipolar disorder. You know, it kind of often gets demonized and lumped into like, oh, if I'm taking lithium, something must be wrong with me, you know?
Right.
But it's funny. I don't know do you know the whole backstory on lithium in soft drinks and beverages? It's actually quite fascinating.
I know it has something to do with 7-Up, like in the same way that I guess, like, you know, cocaine used to be some kind of an ingredient in Coca-Cola.
That's right.
Lithium was part of 7-Up, was it not?
Yeah. So in 1929, there was this guy by the name of Charles Grigg who launched a soft drink called Bib Label Lithiumated Lemon Lime Soda. Doesn't run off the tongue
that's
nicely.
Sell.
Yeah, it didn't sell that well, but his slogan was, it takes the ouch out of the grouch. And actually, he hailed it as being improving your mood and curing hangovers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Later, he remarketed to 7-Up. And supposedly, the 7 in 7-Up is supposed to be the rounded up atomic weight of lithium, which is 6.9. Yeah. So, you know, I started reading about its health benefits. There's actually a really good book out there that you can get on Kindle or wherever on Amazon. It's called Nutritional Lithium, A Cinderella Story. And it really kind of covers the whole, all the research has been done over many, many years about lithium in our drinking supply and about how there's been research that has been done where they find high levels of lithium, naturally occurring lithium in our drinking water. And in areas where that's present, there's lower suicide rates and a bunch of other things. So
really?
I was thinking, like, why not try it? Like, you know, you can buy this stuff on Amazon, you know, and typically when you think about people that are getting dosed with lithium for, say, bipolar disorder, that level of dosage is around 300 milligrams twice a day. So
okay.
if you have a disorder like that, a doctor is typically going to prescribe to you around 600 milligrams or higher of lithium per day. And it's really at those levels, you have to be really careful. Like you have to get your blood drawn and check to see if you're not going to OD on this type of stuff, because that is a concern. When you buy it on Amazon, you typically find it in kind of capsule form, right around 5 milligrams in per capsule. And so what I do is I went in and I did the research in terms of these different drinking water supplies and kind of what their levels were at and where people were feeling this kind of mood boost that comes out of just taking this as a supplement. And it's actually really, really tiny amounts of it, as you'd imagine, being found in this drinking water. So I aim for around 2 milligrams per day. So one okay. milligram in the morning and 1 milligram at night. And so that means I'm taking, you know, these 5 milligram capsules and cracking them in half and kind of like, you know, like slowly twisting it so you get a little of the powder out. I actually just recently found Pure Encapsulations makes a liquid form. You can do it in drops, and it's around 1 milligram per full dropper. Okay. So I do like a half a dropper on the tongue and then the other half at night, and that gets me my full 2 milligrams per day.
I'm gonna have to check on the label, because this popped up a few weeks ago on a show that I did with this guy who made what we call the God Pill, which is just a blend of like 42 different nootropics. It's called Qualia. Have you heard of this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so Qualia is like the new darling of like the smart drug or the nootropic community. It's made by these guys out of San Diego called the Neurohacker Collective. And it really is like just about everything you'll find in research all thrown into one bottle. And it's two doses. You take like one dose on an empty stomach when you wake up for all the water soluble compounds that might have inhibited absorption if you consume them with food. And then you take all the other components later on with breakfast. So there's like dose one and dose two. And I think it's dose one that has lithium orotate in it. And I think the way that I had one of the designers, a guy named Daniel Schmachenberger, on my show to talk about it. And he mentioned something about like neurogenesis or neuroplasticity, like the development of or the maintenance of new neurons and like this neuroprotective effect that yes. it has. Interestingly, kind of similar to a lot of like psychedelics.
Yeah, that's 100% why I take it. So for me, I don't necessarily, I have one buddy of mine that's a scientist friend that takes it and notices a mood change. Like he tends to, when he takes it, he gets a little less irritable and he just feels more kind of zenned out when he's taking the microdoses. For me, I'm looking at the studies that talk about this as a neuroprotective, and there's also some Alzheimer's research on this that show that people that take lithium have lower rates of that. And so why not? It sounds great, and it's cheap, and you can buy it on Amazon, and it's part of my daily kind of regimen.
Yeah, I wonder when they started taking it out of 7-Up.
I believe it was 1950 was the last year it remained in 7-Up.
Okay, so I never actually drank lithium in 7-Up.
No, curious. We didn't. We just had pure sugar as
yeah,
kids.
Just like the bad Coca-Cola. Version. Unless you get the Mexican sugar version, it's just pure high fructose corn syrup, unfortunately.
That's right.
Huh. Well, you're married to a neuroscientist, speaking of tweaking your biology with things like lithium. And it's kind of funny because, you know, your wife, how do you pronounce her name? Daria?
Daria.
Daria, I guess, back when I first ran into her, she was Daria.
Pino.
Yeah. She had a website called The Summer Tomato, and we were on like this online nutrition webcast together about whether you could burn more fat by skipping breakfast or by eating like a big, dense, high fat breakfast. And, that was my first introduction to The Summer Tomato, but it's kind of funny. We've got a mutual connection that goes way back. And I'm kind of curious, you know, she's a smart cookie. She's a neuroscientist. And I'm wondering what that's like being married to someone who is able to analyze the brain in that way, whether she like gives you special foods or gives you special diets or makes you take lithium capsules or anything like that.
Honestly, I think she thinks I'm pretty crazy. Like she's like, really, another thing that you're doing? Like, you're trying something else again. She tends to balance me out, to be honest. Like she recommends just eating whole fruits and vegetables. And she has a book out called Foodist, that is really kind of the balance in my life. And I tend to go and try the really crazy hackery kind of ideas. The beautiful thing about having a scientist in your household though, is you just send them all the published papers and she really helps validate my thinking when I'm reading through this stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Is she, so I'm, I'm married to a rancher girl who probably fits very well into the saying that goes like the shoemaker's wife wears no shoes, right? She doesn't take supplements. She doesn't have like a structured exercise program. She doesn't biohack. And she kind of laughs at a lot of the stuff that I does. It sounds like you might be in a similar situation.
Oh, it's the same thing. I mean, she may take a little vitamin D if it hasn't been sunny out. But other than that, you know, like her side of the, when you go into our master bathroom and kind of open up the medicine closet there, like my side is just filled with stuff and she has like two things.
Oh, it's so funny. Before I came down here, I was actually in my pantry where my wife was sitting there with her hands on her hips, just like looking with a displeased face at this huge, like, cupboard that I have that's just full of bottles. Cause I get, I don't know about you, but I get random, bottles and weird variations of bone broth and,
oh yeah, same here. Powders, I get all that stuff.
And sometimes it's kind of creepy. It's like handmade stuff with little handwritten notes on it.
Don't know whether you should open it or not. Like I get some of that stuff. Someone random will find my address and like send me something. And I'm like, is there poison in here? Or
right. Yeah. Or it's just like a white blank plastic bottle with Sharpie markers on it. And you open it, it's just like something someone encapsulated.
Right.
So, scary. You take lithium. Do you do other like special nootropics or smart drugs or anything else when it comes to spinning the dials in your brain?
Oh, I've tried a handful of different things. But nothing that I would stick with ongoing. I think for me, it's always been about, for me, it's been more recently in the kind of, what can I do to the outside of my body to impact, the release of certain compounds like norepinephrine with my ice baths and things like that, or extreme sauna use or, fasting and things like that. But, I haven't done a whole lot of nootropics recently.
Okay. Got it. Now, one thing, you at some point sent me a video about, chocolate. Chocolate.
Yes.
I think you called them chocolate ceremonies. That intrigues me. What is it that you found from chocolate?
Yeah. So that, I guess you could consider that kind of a brain hack in a way. So gosh, there's a couple things I've run with a little group out here in New York that is really into kind of old school Mayan chocolate ceremonies. And essentially what they've done, it sounds crazy, but what they found out is that if you don't kind of overly roast chocolate and you buy it like in its whole bean form, you can create a beverage that is just essentially pure 100% chocolate that you drink down. And after about a half hour, and this is, involves people sitting around and doing some drum circle work and things like that, you start to get really emotional. And you kind of feel this a little bit of a release. And some people close their eyes and they see visions. But they believe this to be a very kind of spiritual compound that's been used for thousands of years. And we've just kind of lost touch with it. And so we're talking really intense high dose chocolate in a ceremony.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. Well, first of all, where do you get like a 100% coffee bean to be able to do something like
that? Yeah, so they fly it in. Actually fresh, which is kind of crazy. And then they use that to process it down. So they're not buying like the overly roasted, dead version of that. So they're bringing it all in fresh. The one thing that I've found that I've used as a supplement and I think is a great afternoon pick me up because, every once in a while, a couple times a week, I'll hit that, 2 PM. Oh gosh, should I have a second cup of coffee? And the answer is always no, like you shouldn't, cause I'll just be up all night long. But I found a chocolate producer that I've been working with out here in New York called Fruition, and they make 100%.
I've had those.
Yeah, they're have you fantastic. Tried their 100% bar?
I have not tried 100% bar. I've had a Fruition chocolate bar though. I remember it being really good.
Yeah, so they do obviously all types of all the way down to milk and whatnot, but they do a 100% bar that has obviously it's 100%, so there's no added sugar or anything else in there. But the secret is, if you were to go to a grocery store and pick up 100% bar, it's typically that kind of baker's chocolate. Mm-hmm. And that stuff is horrible. I mean, it's been over roasted. It's just disgusting. It's bitter. It's really not pleasant
it's got
at all.
It's got an extreme pucker factor.
Right, right. So this stuff, they purposely lightly roast it so they don't just like destroy it because it's not going into cookies or baking. It's meant for consumption. So I break off about a third of that bar and just have that in the afternoon. And just like that rush of energy that you get from the chocolate and caffeine and everything else, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But that is just a very kind of watered down version of what you would do if you were doing one of these Mayan chocolate ceremonies.
Okay, got it. And can you just get like fruition 100% chocolate on Amazon, or do you need to go to like
I believe it's all over the place
and do like a secret handshake?
No, they've got Fruition has their own website and they sell out from time to time, but they have just the bars on there and they're just standard chocolate bars, but they're great.
Okay, cool. I'll hunt down links for those of you listening in and put them all over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kevin. I'm curious if it's just like the central nervous system stimulant, you know, the theobromine in the chocolate that's giving people this type of effect, or if there's something else happening. I mean, I know there's a big serotonin dump, which is that's why a lot of people get addicted to chocolate.
That's right.
I'm curious what chemical it is that's allowing people to have that type of reaction to 100% chocolate.
Yeah, it's crazy how they just start breaking down in tears. I actually sent you a video that shows the ceremony going on and what people go through and the visions that they see. And you could link that up in the show notes, but it's kind of pretty intense. So you can search online. I think there's some kind of like local, depending on what city you live in, there's people that still practice this.
Yeah, interesting. I do know that chocolate does have some cannabinoids in it. And so it may be stimulating the endocannabinoid system as well. There's a lot to chocolate. There's a book, a new book by Stéphane Guinet, who does really good research in like what overstimulates us to eat. And it's actually a fascinating book. I don't remember the title of it. I'm halfway through it, but I'm horrible at remembering the actual titles of books as I'm reading them. But he actually goes into how chocolate is basically like one of the most addictive calorie dense foods on the face of the planet, which can be good and can be bad, because he talks about how if you look at ancient hunter gatherer tribes, for example, they would eat just copious amounts of food to increase their fertility and to, you know, satisfy their evolutionary thirst for simply consuming calorie dense foods when they got their hands on them. Like how, you know, he goes mm-hmm. into how like the Hazda, when they're hunting, I forget the name of the animal that they do like a persistence hunt on, but if they walk by like a giant hive of bees, they'll just stop, completely forsake the hunt and go after the honey, because that's more calorie dense,
right,
and
right.
has less energy cost than actually going after the animal. And it appears chocolate kind of satisfies that need for us from an ancestral standpoint, right? It's extremely calorie dense, assists with fertility, and it's one of those things that we can get a lot of energy from in a very small package.
Yeah, and it's what's awesome about it is with 100% bars, when I was really deep into ketosis and I was measuring my ketone levels a few times a day with pricking my finger, it didn't kick me out. I could stay in and still get that kind of chocolate flavor. And obviously, you know, if you do even a 90% bar with a little bit of sugar, it's going to kick you out right away.
Right. So it doesn't have both the milk sugars as well as the added sugars put into
exactly.
these fruition 100%. Okay, cool. Now with ketosis, is that something you've been doing for a while? Are you like one of these guys who's strict ketosis 24/7, or why is it that you're doing that type of diet?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been trying all different types of diets out, and I think that I really wanted to see about this energy that everyone talks about that you can just tap into when you're running off of ketones. And so for me, it was just an experiment. I thought, okay, well, let's draw my blood ahead of time so we have all the kind of biomarkers as they are, and then go in and see what happens. And so I jumped into it and cut out a ton of protein and focused on the fats. And, you know, I got all the way in, and I was wearing a continuous glucose monitor. So I had a Dexcom on me, which is, you know, you kind of pinch the fat around your stomach and you inject yourself with this monitor that sits on your side. And mm-hmm. that stays on 24/7. So I was monitoring
the continuous blood glucose monitor.
Yeah. And it's great. You have to get a doctor's prescription to get it, but it's great because once you have it, you can find all the little hidden sugars that you don't think are there. Like you'll be out somewhere and you're like, okay, that looks like pretty fatty, and you give it a shot. And then all of a sudden you realize that someone snuck some sugar in somewhere, and you can see it right away as it's happening.
Right. Right.
But yeah, ketosis was fun for me. It was a great way to get some extra energy. Unfortunately, I'm one of those, you know, 5% of people or whatever it is that it kind of wreaks havoc on a few of my different inflammation markers, and also on my cholesterol levels were not, I wasn't taking to it well. I have a history of heart disease in my family, so it was something we had to monitor pretty closely. And so it wasn't the diet for me, so I had to get off of it.
That's interesting. Are you one of the people who has the ApoE gene that causes you to store things like saturated fats as cholesterol and
That's right.
elevated triglycerides?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So that is a genetic marker that seems to respond really well to like are you familiar with like a Katavan diet, like a high fiber, slightly higher carbohydrate diet? That's, you know, it's got a lot of like dense cellular carbohydrates in it, but it's anything but a ketogenic diet. Have you looked into that?
Yeah,
at all?
That's more or less what I'm on now. I'm on a pretty high veggie kind of dense grain diet, and that's how it worked wonders actually.
Yeah, they do like a lot of tubers and coconut and fish, and I know they've got like, you know, cassava and yucca and sweet potato and a lot of these, you know, not non-wheat, non-sugar-based carbohydrates, but a lot of people with that genetic factor seem to respond really well to like this Katavan-based diet.
Yeah, I love the sweet potatoes. I go for the purple sweet potatoes that they eat so much in Okinawa.
Yeah. Yeah, those are
good. Have you ever been down to Okinawa? Have you visited that island at all?
No, I haven't.
So that's that island right off the coast of Japan where they have more people over the age of 100 than any other place on Earth. And
it's a blue zone, right?
Yeah, it's a blue zone. That's right. Yeah. And I mean, they just consume tons of these purple, really. And I mean, they just look healthy when you see that dark, dense, like purple color. And I cut those up and have them with pretty much everything.
I love those. I used to do the Ironman triathlon down in Hawaii on the Big Island every year. And that was my go-to meal the night before the race was I'd get a couple of those purple sweet potatoes and prepare them with a little bit of nut butter and honey and sea salt.
That's perfect.
You'd wake up in the morning feeling like a million bucks. But I actually did myself, you know, the last couple of years I did Ironman, I switched to ketosis and I saw some hormonal issues too, right? Like it's like rocket fuel for your liver and your diaphragm and your heart for long-term endurance sessions. But for me, my thyroid, you know, wound up taking a little bit of a hit that kind of sticks with me to this day. And then also testosterone just plummeted on that combination of extremely low glucose availability and high activity levels. So yeah, it can be difficult. You said your inflammation went up when you were on a ketogenic diet, like your CRP or?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at I haven't looked at the blood work in a while, but I can't remember what marker it was that we were looking at, but something was a little out of whack and enough to where there was enough signs where I was like, okay, this isn't for me. And it was because my father died of a heart attack and there's two other strokes on my father's side. And we were like, let's not risk it. So I bounced from it. But you know, the supplemental ketones is a fun way to get a quick little, you know, boost. I've done that as well. I've tried those Prove It brand, and then it's like an orange flavored little shake and you mix it in. And, you know, if I'm just looking to go out and run 5-7 miles, I'll just, you know, take one of those and do that once or twice a month. And that's a nice, nice little boost of energy.
Yeah. I took those the very first time I went free diving. I took a week long free diving course down in Florida just to see what they would do to breath hold time.
Yeah. It's supposed to increase it, right?
Oh, I added almost 75 seconds to breath hold time. And that wasn't by like eating a high fat breakfast or, you know, by consuming a bunch of coconut oil. It was literally just like eating how I normally eat. And I remember, you know, when we first got to the dock for one of our first dives, we wound up at a sandwich shop. That was the place where our freediving instructor brought us to eat. So I had like a tuna sandwich, which by the way is a bad call before you head out into the rollicking ocean waves. But I also had those ketones to put myself into ketosis, and it vastly improved the breath hold time.
So, well, they're talking about government research that was funding a lot of this, right? So that they could have Navy SEALs with longer breath times and things like that. So
exactly,
it makes sense.
To combat a lot of the effects of like hypoperfusion to the brain and hypoxia at depth. Yeah, it certainly has some beneficial like therapeutic effects when you're doing a lot of hypoxia as well. The other interesting thing are these ketone esters. There's a researcher named Dr. Richard Veach. I've had him on the show before. And he's developed an extremely potent form of ketones that is the same form as the body produces. Like all these other ketone salts on the market, they're not necessarily unhealthy, at least they haven't been proven to be, but they aren't the form that the body makes. And Dr. Veach actually produces these ketone esters that, you know, I took a bottle because that's how you consume them, like a liquid bottle, and tested my ketones. And for those of you listening in, or for you, Kevin, if you've tested ketones, you would know how profound this is. Within 10 minutes, my ketone values were above 5.
Wow. Just and what, so were they like 0.3 before you started or something?
No, it's normally what it would be when I wake up, you know, a little bit below one. You know, I'm like 0.5 to one in that range when I wake up in the morning for blood millimolar of ketone.
And in 10 minutes? That's insane.
10 minutes, shoved it.
How did it taste, though? Is that stuff pretty gnarly?
They warned me that it tastes just like, you know, rocket fuel.
Right.
You know, that's what, you know, Dominique D'Agostino and Peter Attia, when they first, way back in the day, were doing their research on ketones,
right,
where, you know, Peter was in the lab riding the bicycle. You know, he said it was just horrible. But these actually, you know, they didn't taste that bad. But of course, I drink what my wife calls cat diarrhea for breakfast, which is essentially kale mixed with a bunch of nasty nutrients. So it could be that I'm just immune to the taste. But yeah, if you get a chance to try ketone esters, I tried them in a race too. I tried them in a Tough Mudder. Got out of bed, raced the Tough Mudder, and was just like on fire for like 6 hours just on this, wow, this little bottle of ketones. So
I gotta try those.
Yeah, see if you can get your hands on some, or contact me later. I'll intro you to Dr. Veach, and we can have you trial a bottle of these ketone esters, because you can't buy them anywhere. You just get them from his lab. They're not like sold for human consumption or anything like that. Although I believe, are you familiar with this Patrick Arnold guy who develops?
No.
Yeah, he develops ketone press, similar to those Prove It ones that you mentioned. I think his is, right, called Keto Force. And I think he's trying to develop like a consumer version of this ketone ester. I believe he's the guy. Who's,
yeah, I know the Keto Force. I haven't tried that, though.
Yeah.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard, because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements, because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com.
So you're doing, I think, what you call the body hacking or body work, where you're focusing on things, you know, aside from just, you know, drinking or you know, chocolate or consuming lithium. You mentioned cold water and heat training. What are you doing as far as like heat and cold go?
Yeah, well, you know, gosh, I'd say a little over a year ago, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, have you had her on the show at all?
Oh yeah, Dr. Rhonda and I were just over in Finland for a week.
That's great.
Visiting a bunch of saunas over there and doing the whole like Finnish, slightly awkward, you know, huge smoke saunas full of 50 co-ed nude people whipping each other with birch branches. So
I love that. We have that here in New York. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know how Rhonda feels about all this stuff. And she came out with a great cold stress PDF where she looked at all the different studies, pulled together all the information and kind of found the temperatures that you want to be at to release this norepinephrine in the brain and into the bloodstream. And, you know, I'd heard great things from people doing this ice kind of cold training. And I was first turned on to Wim Hof, who I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of before. He's the ice man. He's the man that's he has a world record for most time under ice or in ice water. It's right. Crazy.
Yeah, it's like over 2 hours.
It's insane. Like most people die when that happens, right? So his whole method, the Wim Hof method, is a 10-week course. And around this time last year, I thought, well, you know, let's just give it a shot. Like this guy obviously is a pro here. He teaches you some kind of yogic breathing exercises to help you really focus yourself before you go into these extreme cold conditions. And I thought that coupled with kind of Rhonda's research, you know, aiming for a little under 57 degrees Fahrenheit in water temperature, let's just give this a shot and see how I feel. Because I've heard so many people reporting back that you just get this great euphoria and you feel so much better, more energy, blah, blah, blah. So I started off by doing the 10-week course, and it starts you off pretty easy, wherein you start with a shower, a typical hot shower, and then you end with 30 seconds of cold water.
Right.
And the key here really, though, is figuring out if you can get your cold water and the temperature coming out of your faucet to below 57 degrees Fahrenheit. So I went out and I purchased one of these lasers that you can point at the water, you know, the laser little temperature monitors.
Mm-hmm. And like everybody has in their shower.
Yeah, exactly. Like we all have. And then I went and got a cup and turned on the shower. And mine was not quite that cold. It turns out that most showers, at least the ones that go cold and hot with one knob versus having two knobs for cold and hot, they have governors built in so they can't go cold enough. So I had to unscrew my shower, take it apart, and remove the little governor so that it would go all the way to the coldest possible setting. And here in New York, obviously the cold water is coming from outside in the streets, and so it's coming in pretty cold. So I just measured before we jumped on the call today, and the water out here now is around 54 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 12.5 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's right where I want it. So essentially, you know, I put it back together and said, okay, let's start this. And the first week is 5 days of these breathing exercises, and then you go in and you do the 30 seconds of cold, and it's difficult and it's a shock to the body. And, you know, I really didn't feel anything after the first week. It was kind of fun, and it was a fun little jolt of energy when you get out of the shower and you're like, wow, that was exciting. But then around week two, something really odd started happening. And that's that I felt as though, you know, I would say I'm a pretty happy person in general. And I think that we all kind of ride this little roller coaster in the upper third of things where, you know, you may feel 100% one day. Some days you feel 80, 85%, some days 90% in terms of mood overall, right?
Yep.
And what happened for me is the bar was just lifted a little bit higher. I didn't think it could go this high. Like I remember jumping out of bed and just feeling like, God, I feel so good today. It's almost like I'm 15 again. Just the amount of energy and just mental clarity. And, you know, I know these are all buzzwords, but when you actually feel it, you're kind of shocked. And that started happening around week two. And that's when I started kind of ramping up to 60 seconds of cold per day. And then you continue through the 10 weeks. And by the 10th week, I was filling my bathtub full of about 8 to 10 bags of ice. And I could sit there, you know, 20 minutes up to my neck in ice water and not even shiver. It was just insane. And I felt better than I ever did. Like I was operating on a different level. It was amazing.
There's a lot of really interesting hormonal mechanisms. And by the way, you were that guy who went into 7-Eleven buying the giant bags of ice.
Exactly.
Not because you were having a party, but because you're having a bath. The interesting thing, and I know the NIH, for example, you know, a lot of people take like thyroid hormone, like Armour Thyroid or Nature Thyroid or something like that, when they're slightly low in thyroid to elevate mood levels and enhance sleep. And the NIH is actually doing studies right now on cold thermogenesis and its effect on human thyroid levels, meaning that like the long-term effect of doing repeated cold exposure could actually have a really beneficial effect on your thyroid. You know, we all tend to think, you know, like a sluggish thyroid would cause you to feel cold all the time, but it seems that like if you expose yourself to cold, that it can actually upregulate thyroid function. And then, you know, you mentioned Wim Hof, and I'm sure you've seen this study where he like injected himself with endotoxins. I think it was like E. coli or something like that, and actually showed that by using his methods, right? Like the shiver walks and you know, the power breathing and stuff like that, he could actually enhance his immune system's ability to be able to fight off endotoxins. So it's really interesting. There's all sorts of very cool hormonal responses to this cold exposure.
Have you tried the cold at all? Have you done any of this work yourself?
Yeah. So I have a 19-foot cold pool. It's out in the snow right now. I had a crane drop it out here in the middle of the forest where I live because there was no natural body of water. I keep it at about 45 degrees. And every morning, what I do is I built an infrared sauna in my basement. There's this company called Clearlight. They sound like a kit to your house, and you can build this enormous sauna that you can do like yoga in, and I've got dumbbells and a kettlebell in there. And so I do just about every morning 30 minutes of extreme sweating in that infrared sauna, and I'll do like Kundalini yoga and breath work and, you know, Wim Hof style, you know, breath of fire and stuff like that. And then I go out and I do 5 minutes of underwater swimming back and forth in this cold pool. And so, yeah, it's a daily practice. I haven't taken a hot shower in about 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. Can you notice the difference in mood and just energy and things of that nature? Or was that not a big factor for you?
Yeah. Mood, energy. You know, the interesting thing, and this has actually come back to bite me a few times in terms of essential body fat stores, but I stay almost too lean. Like you burn fat so readily. I started doing this entire practice. Are you familiar with Ray Cronise?
No.
Okay. He was on my podcast with Tim like 3 years ago. And we actually did a full podcast on cold thermogenesis. And Ray came out to Spokane here where I live and gave a talk at a conference that I put on. And he showed these fascinating graphs of fat loss, like extreme fat loss in these folks he was working with. And all he was having them do, he didn't modify exercise, didn't modify diet, nothing. All he had them
do. Is this the brown fat activation stuff?
Yeah, he had them do a 5-minute shower in the morning and a 5-minute shower in the evening, doing almost exactly what you've just alluded to. They were doing 20 seconds of cold, 10 seconds of hot, 10 times through, right? So for a total of 5 minutes, and the fat loss effects were staggering. And so when he showed all those graphs, that's when I kind of started doing a cold shower daily and often twice a day, and then like this cold plunge in the morning. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one of the best things you can do for your body, you know, aside from exercise and I guess taking lithium and eating chocolate.
Yeah. Well, when people ask me, like, you know, because they know I'm into these types of things and try all kinds of crazy little experiments, this is definitely in my top three of things that I've actually felt a change. You know, like you take a lot of supplements thinking like, oh, maybe I'll try this or that, and you don't notice, you know, anything one way or the other. This for me was real.
Yeah. Yeah, it works pretty well. But now that you've said it, I have to ask you, what are the other two?
Of things that I've tried that haven't worked?
No, you said it's like in your top three.
Oh, top three of things. Oh, gosh. Well, that's a good question. I think the breath work is another big one. You know, I think, have you done any of the holotropic breath work or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. I did a very long session, you know, meaning, you know, the proper version that's like choreographed to music with an instructor there in the room and you're all lying down on the floor. I did this in San Diego. I took a course called Seal Fit with a Navy SEAL commander named Mark Devine. And one of the things that they had us do was this holotropic breath work. And yeah, it was basically the highest I've ever gotten without the use of stimulants.
It is really crazy. And that's actually part of Wim's program as well. And something people should be aware of to be careful with. I actually had a buddy that was doing some of this breath work that ended up passing out in a pool. So he was doing it in a cold pool at the time, passed out, went underwater, unconscious. They had to pull him out, revive him. It's really dangerous stuff. So it's important that when you're doing this breath work that Wim's teaching, and he even says this as you take the course, but to keep those things separate so you're not like about to pass out while you're in cold water, especially, you know, a pool of water. So
Kundalini is the other one. You have to be. I had a bunch of guys over to my house last weekend for like a 3-day mastermind. And every morning we did yoga in my basement. And first morning we did Kundalini yoga. One of the guys just flat out passed out just doing basic Kundalini breath work.
Wow. It's powerful stuff. But that's the one of the other three I would say I've definitely felt in terms of, I actually use Wim's method, which is 30 really deep, long, fast breaths. And then you hold your breath until you can't hold it anymore. And then take one gasp of air in and then release and then do another 30. And you do this for three sets. And when you do that, you get that same kind of feeling that we all know, that's like this really euphoric kind of high. And then I'll take that right into meditation. So that like just really calms my brain. It makes it so that the monkey mind isn't activated. You're not thinking about a thousand different things, just kind of a really zenned out state to begin with, and then go right into a half hour meditation. And that for me is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because that was my first experience with Kundalini, which have you ever done Kundalini?
No, I have not.
Okay. Kundalini is really cool. A lot of people will combine it with cannabis, but a lot of people just do, you know, basic Kundalini, and it's really intense breath work combined with these special movements that you'll do. Like you'll, for example, you know, clench both fists at your side with your elbows against your rib cage, and then punch with the left hand as you exhale, punch with the right hand as you exhale, but do that like rapid fire as fast as you can for 3 minutes. And then you finish kind of similarly to the Wim Hof method, where you'll have your breath held for as long as you can, and then you exhale for as long as you can. And you get this rush of nitric oxide, and your fingers start to get tingly, and you start to experience a lot of things you get during holotropic breathwork. But usually you finish with meditation or with chanting, you know, where you'll put your fingers together and do like the sata nama over and over again. And when you precede it with the breathwork, it's a whole different experience.
Yeah, I love that. I have to try that. I'm taking notes as we're talking. I'm going to try the Kundalini. That sounds great.
There's this girl named Summer Nicole. She lives down in Kauai, and she does custom courses where you get on a Skype call with her for about 15 minutes. She interviews you and asks you what it is you want to accomplish. Like I told her, I wanted to improve my cardiovascular capacity. I wanted to improve my ability to rest and relax during the day. I wanted to improve my ability to meditate. And she put together she does like a custom Kundalini routine where, you know, she targeted like my heart chakra and my lungs, and then like my relaxation and some of the moves that decreased salivary cortisol. And it's really cool how you can like kind of have your own little custom routine. And then watched the video that she shot a few times and then memorized it. So you've got cold breath work. And what's the third that you would say is in your top three?
Oh gosh. As far as just overall things that I've seen a big impact. I mean, you know, for me, it's been, meditation, but not in the kind of traditional sense of, mindfulness meditation. You know, I started out like most people using a meditation app. You know, I've tried pretty much all of them out there, and almost all of them, in fact, I haven't found one that doesn't teach you mindfulness meditation, but typical following your breath is the kind of go-to form that they teach. And recently in the last year, I got into and tried transcendental meditation, and I don't know if you know much about it at all.
Yeah,
but it's more,
I took a course last year.
Okay, so you know the mantra based. I'm not a fan of the organization. I think they charge an awful lot of money for you to do these courses in something that you can learn online. I did like the few days of instruction and kind of like how they help you over a few of the different hurdles that come up. But I think in general, it's a pretty expensive product for what you get. But I am a fan of mantra-based meditation, which I hadn't done before. I find that I go a lot deeper, quicker. And so I started doing mantra-based meditation. And that, for me, that was just kind of a game changer in terms of reducing overall daily kind of stress and anxiety and just feel good in general. And the big change for me had always been, okay, let me fire up one of these apps and do it for 10, 15 minutes. And I really think you're not getting the full taste when, cause your mind doesn't really settle down until you hit that 30 minute mark. And so for me, I have to go 30 plus in order to get the true experience and the true feeling, of doing this practice. So I made the switch and actually committed to doing this longer, for longer periods of time. And that's been a big difference, for me.
Now, when you're doing a mantra, like when you take a TM course, you're assigned a mantra during a special ceremony where they like,
that's right,
burn a candle over fruit with a picture of an old Indian dude up there on, in a frame. And my apologies for blaspheming transcendental meditation for any of you listening. And I've actually found it to be pretty useful. But the ceremony was for me slightly awkward. However, I got a mantra.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It was an awkward ceremony.
Yeah. But for you, when you're saying you do like mantra style meditation, where do you get your mantra? Do you just like make up a word, or did you actually find like a special word that's all yours?
Yeah. I mean, I stuck with the one that they gave me at the TM course. I think the key is that it just really shouldn't be something that you have any attachment to, meaning that it shouldn't be, you know, a word for you, that you would recognize. It really kind of has to mean nothing. And obviously as you get deeper and deeper into it, the mantra kind of evolves in your head as you're doing it anyway. There's a list. If you just do a search, for transcendental meditation mantra words, they'll have a complete list online. I've found tons of different ones, and you can just pick one and run with it.
Yeah. I did that actually after my course, and I found my word was actually
right.
On
your secret word.
My secret
when
word.
When you do the course, they tell you like, this is your secret word. Don't give it to anyone. And it's very serious. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, it's private. Yeah. And then I of course, Google it. And it's like, were you born in this year? And then it gives me my exact word. I was like, damn it.
yeah, exactly. But I mean, all due respect, I think by taking the course, and paying the money, you actually do almost paint yourself into a corner of doing it and sticking to it for their 10 or 20 minutes, you know, once or twice a day. For me now, it's twice a week for 20 minutes. I do my TM, and I'm supposed to be doing it, you know, every day for, you know, a couple of times, but you know, I think I'm still getting quite a bit of benefit. But yeah, you are right. It does have to be, it can't just be like SpongeBob SquarePants that you say over and over again in your head.
Right.
It has to be like a special word. So, so you've got breath work, you've got, cold, and you've got, a meditation or a mantra based, meditation that you do. That's interesting. Now you're, I think you also mentioned to me that you're into, fasting.
That's right. Yeah. I just, I've been doing fasting on and off for quite a while, and just recently decided to kind of build an app around it to give it a little bit of structure and to help other people that want to do more fasting.
Now, why, playing devil's advocate here, would someone need an app to tell them not to eat?
Yeah, I mean, the app actually is, it's a great question. And honestly, I just built the app because it's a really simple app that I wanted to see exist. I don't charge for the app. There's no ads in it or anything like that. It's just completely free. And that's what I do for a living is build software. So for me, it was, let's build an app that can do a couple things. One, I wanted a really easy way to log my fasting over time. So the app goes in and saves historic data of all of your fasts over the course of a year or multiple years. And then there's a button to export it out as just like an Excel file that you can open up and do whatever you want with. So you can look at trends over time. The other thing I wanted to do is that there's been a lot of research lately that show that fasting, especially intermittent fasting, where you're doing like a daily fast, mm-hmm. it's important to start these fasts closer to sunset. The closer to sunset, the better. There's a Dr. Panda has a bunch of research. Actually, Rhonda Patrick, who we were talking about earlier, the scientist, she interviewed three different people in the world of fasting, and Panda and Longo, also another great scientist doing fasting work. Your circadian rhythms play a big part in some of these biomarkers and in the efficacy of the fasts. And so he found that the later that you go into the night and while you continue to eat, as it starts to get dark, your body starts to produce serotonin. Obviously, we know this. And it starts to prepare you to go to bed and go to sleep. And if you're eating into the night, it can kind of screw things up a little bit. Your body should have that downtime to focus on doing repairs,
right,
and maintaining your body, not really on digesting, you know, five or three slices of pizza that you ate at midnight.
Digesting or having the insulinogenic response, because I know like with growth hormone, for example, you know, for people who inject growth hormone, you get the best benefits when you're in a very low insulin state, right? So you the same way with endogenous growth hormone, right? When insulin levels are low while you're sleeping, you get more growth hormone produced.
Exactly. So, you know, there's been some great research. I think the only thing that we can really look to when it comes to fasting is, you know, all of the research that's been published by scientists in peer-reviewed journals. And there's some interesting data. One of the things that I was really kind of compelled by was that it decreased breast cancer risk and reoccurrence by as much as 36% for people that were doing just a 13-hour fast, but eating as close to sunset as possible. So 13-hour fast is super simple to do. You just have to start earlier in the night, so the second the sun starts to go down.
Right.
So the thing about the app, and the reason I created the app, is what it does is it fetches your location, and then we calculate in real time when the sun is going to set.
Right.
And so it also logs your nighttime eating hours. So it knows, let's say you start your fast at 8 p.m., and you hit start on the app, it knows, okay, the sun set at 6, so we're going to log 2 hours of nighttime eating. And then it puts that in the Excel data as well. So for me, it's, you're right. Any dumb tracker that your timer that you have on your phone can time your fast. But this is just more for any of the geeks that are out there that just want to kind of log all this stuff and look at trends over time.
Yeah, it's really interesting because both light and food are a zeitgeist, right? Which is like a circadian rhythm regulator. And so, you know, for people who have like jet lag or sleep issues, one of the best things you can do in the morning is huge blasts of sunlight and mm-hmm. eat big breakfast. But it sounds like from what you're saying, the flip side could be true for an evening habit and a very light meal or fasting in the evening as soon as everything gets dark could be quite beneficial for nighttime health.
That's right. So I try to like the fast I'm doing right now is actually for two reasons. One, I'm trying to eat as close to sunset as possible. I keep it under 3 hours of nighttime eating per day. And that's based on that research around all the cancer and all the positive benefits that happen there. And the other piece of it is that, honestly, as silly as it sounds, Hugh Jackman came out and talked about intermittent fasting for training for Wolverine. So one of the reasons he got absolutely ripped is that his trainer put him on a daily 16-hour fast. And he talks about when he was training for his first movies, how it was really difficult and he had to spend all his time on the treadmill. And then later, as he was older in life, it was much easier for him just doing a 16-hour fast. So, you know, you stop eating around 8 p.m. and then have your first meal around lunchtime, and the fat just kind of falls off. So
yeah, I wonder if it helps with sideburns too.
Yeah, those nice sideburns and
exactly
metal claws.
Uh huh. Yeah, the interesting thing with fasting when it comes to that is that, you know, it seems to be different for women versus men. Have you run into this at all? You know, the issue that a lot of women have with like hormonal issues when they do too much fasting.
I haven't seen any of that. No. I try to stay away from, I'm pointing everyone when you have the app or any of this stuff, I point everyone to all the published papers and all the science and have them talk to their doctors because it's so important to have a doctor kind of help you through this stuff.
Yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes for people, but basically the deal is like with women, they tend to report that they'll start to miss their periods when they do like these 12 to 16 hour intermittent fasts. And apparently the reason for that is that women have a high production of this molecule that neurons use to communicate. It's called kisspeptin. And kisspeptin actually stimulates the gonadotropic releasing hormone. That's like the hormone that tells you, you know, to release like, you know, luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone and all these things that allow women to have their period. And apparently when women in particular fast, their kisspeptin levels just like plummet. And so it's almost like men have this built-in hormonal mechanism to do better with long periods of time without eating compared to women, who of course do better with higher essential body fat stores, but appears better with eating as well. For me though, I'm on board with you. Like the way that I do it, I don't have an app, but I'm very competitive. So I've done this for the past few years, about as long as I've done this, you know, only take a cold shower thing. When I finish dinner, I take out my watch, I press the mode button, open up the chronograph, and I press start. And I have a very simple rule that no caloric-based substance, including, you know, MCT oil or bulletproof coffee or anything like that, is going to go into my body for 12 hours. So I always have at least a 12-hour window, and I try and shoot for 16 hours that I just go without eating. And you're
do you do black coffee without anything added?
Black coffee. Sometimes I'll put some mushrooms in there, like chaga or in the morning. Typically, it's chaga or cordyceps is the other one that I'll use. But yeah, mm-hmm. just black coffee in the morning, and that's it. So
yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah.
Despite the have you seen the video going around Facebook with the guy who is doing a biohacker parody video? And there's a pretty funny part of it where he drops a couple sticks of butter into his morning cup of coffee. And
I haven't seen that.
Simply amazing. It astounds me how putting 1800 calories of butter into my coffee each morning allows me to stay in a fasted state without getting hungry.
Right.
So yeah. Those morning calories count, but that's interesting. Do you have is that fasting app actually released?
It is. Yeah. It's just okay. Called Zero, which is named after the amount of food you eat while fasting. Uh-huh. And so, you can just go to the, iOS, like Apple, app store and type in Zero Fasting.
Okay.
And it'll come up and yeah, like I said, it's completely free. So
I'll find it and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I see that, Medium did an article on it as well. So there you have it. We'll hunt it down.
Yeah. Have you seen the research, from Dr. Longo at all around fasting? That he's done at the Salk Institute.
Which research is that?
So around the cancer, around fasting in combination with chemotherapy.
I haven't seen that. I had a fascinating interview with a guy named Dr. Minkoff about the metabolic theory of cancer, you know, which is basically stating that cancer originates from damage to a cell's capacity to generate energy with oxygen, like oxidative energy production. And so these cells just go into like extreme glucose utilization and churning out lactic acid. And a big part of cancer is due to extreme glucose metabolism. And a lot of that could be managed by not having glucose around, which would be fasting.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I had a friend of mine here a year and a half ago that, came down with stage 4 cancer, and it was really scary there for a while. And he, Dr. Longo, who Rhonda interviewed, has this program where you fast actually a couple days prior to doing chemotherapy, with the idea of kind of helping weaken and kill off these cells that might otherwise turn cancerous. And he did it, and for 6 months fought it all back, and now he's knock on wood, he's in full remission a little over a year later. And I was just blown away by, and he was talking about how much better he felt having fasted prior to doing chemotherapy, because he was three chemo sessions in and decided, okay, well, I did this fasting thing. It's really brutal. It's hard to do. I'm just going to eat for this round of chemotherapy. And he ate food prior to going into it, just like they always typically tell you to do. And it felt like just absolute hell after eating, and said that the side effects and symptoms from the chemotherapy were so greatly reduced when he did 2 days of fasting prior to going into it.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is all stuff that you want to chat with your doctor about if this is affecting you. But the research is out of the Salk Institute from Dr. Longo is really compelling when it comes to fasting combined with chemotherapy to kill cancer.
Yeah. Thanks for including the disclaimer, by the way. For those of you listening in, Kevin is not a cancer physician.
That's right.
But he's spot on. There's a book called Tripping Over the Truth. Have you read this book, Kevin?
No, I have not.
It's about that whole metabolic theory of cancer. And, mm-hmm. The book, when people tell me that a loved one has cancer or that they want to lower the risk for something, some cancer they have a risk of, like breast or prostate, I tell them to read this book and to especially go towards the end of the book, even if they want to skip all the science, just to go into all the practical recommendations about how to improve mitochondrial health, which is mm-hmm. the key to curing or managing cancer, and then B, how to eat a diet that is basically fasting and ketosis. And someone actually wrote me, this was just yesterday, someone wrote me and told me that they had a loved one who had gotten cancer, and they had this whole plan set up, and they were going to be doing like fruit juicing and vegetable juicing and only consumption of grains and very lean proteins. And I told them that was probably one of the worst things that they could do. To manage
spiking
cancer.
Their sugar, yeah,
right, exactly. Like mainlining sugar into the bloodstream along with grains and proteins in the absence of any fats. And so, yeah, this metabolic theory of cancer book, you'd probably like it. It's called Tripping Over the Truth. It's actually a pretty easy read, but it's a great one. It's right in line with everything you've been talking about.
Great, I'll check it out.
So you've also got this email newsletter. I didn't know about it. I was stalking you, however, leading up to this podcast, and ended up subscribing to it yesterday. So I haven't actually gotten it aside from the uh, that confirm your subscription email. But I'm curious about it. What is the journal that you put out, and what's, you know, as a follow-up, what's the coolest kind of like health related topic that you've talked about in the journal in 2016?
Yeah, well, the journal is just called The Journal, actually. It is a monthly newsletter that I put out. And I tend to, you know, having started Dig way back in the day and been a big fan of kind of tracking all things that are going on the internet, I tend to read a ton of different articles when it comes to, you know, technology-related products and health-related stuff. And so I put all of these into a spreadsheet, and at the end of the month, I pick my kind of top five articles, and then I publish them in a newsletter. So it's a once a month newsletter. It's not something that bombards your inbox every day or every week. So I put this out. We've got around 70,000 people that are subscribed to it, and it's just a collection of the best stuff. I call it a newsletter for the curious, because I'm always finding little hacks on how to create productivity hacks or whatever it may be. But as far as health related stuff, gosh, I've covered a lot of meditation and various little compounds that I've tried throughout the year. But one of the things that I thought actually recently was pretty cool was this idea of Japanese forest bathing. Do you know much about this at all?
I wrote an article on it at some point last year, the Shinrin Yoku, it's called, right?
Yeah. So it's literally just being with the trees. But what was so fascinating is that I love all things that are from Japan. For some reason, it's just everything they do is so much cooler than what we do.
I'm right there with you. Even the fried chicken. I used to go over there and compete in triathlons every year in Nagoya. And I'd always take the bullet train over to Kyoto. And what amazed me was that the fried chicken in Japan is freaking off the hook.
Oh, everything there that they put their effort and attention on is just amazing. So here's a quick, here's something you'll probably like. And since your readers love health related stuff, one of the things I found in Tokyo, it's this place called Hatau, Hautou, I believe. It's a coffee shop. Okay. And it's down this little tiny alley in Tokyo. And a friend of mine told me, you got to go check this place out. So I go in, I'm okay, I want to have my morning coffee. This sounds great. I sit down, they don't speak any English, but the only thing that you can tell them when you sit down is the word old beans. You just say old beans to them. And this guy, this old man who's in like a full-on suit with his tie and everything, he brings these fermented coffee beans, like aged old coffee beans that have been fermenting. And he grinds them up in front of you, and he puts them in this kind of bag, this kind of pour over bag, but it's more like a little satchel, like a little leather sack. And he slowly pours hot water over the top of these fermented beans once he's ground them up. The entire process, I kid you not, takes about 15 to 20 minutes for one cup of coffee. And then he like proudly serves you this cup of coffee, which costs about $3.50, $4. And it's the most amazing, like, attention to detail and absolute like perfect Japanese experience when you go in there. And plus, there has to be something super healthy about fermented, you know, all things fermented, as we know.
It must be nearly as good. You know, that's why they say like the, if you're to like the black ivory coffee, which they collect from elephant dung, or the
I've had the
weasel coffee. You know,
the weasel is the one I had.
Yeah. Apparently, one of the reasons is it's so healthy for you is because of the fermentation of the bean that takes place in the gut of these animals.
That's right. And so I actually got a little small bag to go, and I examined these beans later, and they are just super oily, like just like ultra oily, and they kind of have a slightly rotten smell to them. But the cup of coffee was phenomenal. And it was just a fun little experience, but that was just a little side tangent on all things awesome that come from Japan. But this idea of forest bathing, they had 280 subjects that they did in this study. It was like a $4 million study that was funded out of Japan. And they measured in these subjects cortisol levels, blood pressure, pulse rate, and heart rate variability. They took the subjects and they put them in the city for a day, measured all these things, and then they put them out in the forest for 30 minutes. And they found that the forest environment promoted like lower concentrations of cortisol, lower pulse rate, lower blood pressure, greater parasympathetic nerve activity. Like, it was just amazing just from sitting around the trees. And it's funny. It's like we don't even, these are the things that are just readily available that aren't compounds and the things that we can do, and we just forget to do them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. After looking into some of that research, I live out in the forest, you know, like right now, you know, it's 14 degrees outside. I don't necessarily have the windows and the doors open all the time, you know, letting all the plant polyphenols and flavanols and like pine oils seep into my home. But what I started doing after I looked into that, I don't know if you've messed around with this at all, Kevin, but I get pine oils. And my favorite is blue spruce. I get a blue spruce oil and I diffuse this in my office. So my entire office smells like a forest when you
walk
into
it. Where do you buy this stuff? I've been wanting to get into kind of the aromatherapy world, but I have no idea what I'm doing.
Most essential oil companies are multi-level marketing companies. So you got to get past that. I have no clue why. Like, you know, the doTERRA and Young Living and all these companies, they all have the websites that have, you know, the opportunity button.
It's always
the red flag when you visit a website, it has the opportunity button at the top of it. But I get mine from Young Living essential oils, and it's blue spruce. It's an Idaho blue spruce oil. And I don't know how they've measured this, but you know how everything in biology vibrates with a certain frequency. Mm-hmm. So apparently this blue spruce extract vibrates at the highest frequency of any of the plant essential oils known to man. And so it's got this very like vibratory, energetic, uplifting type of scent. But the other interesting thing is they do this this cologne called Chutran, Chutran. And women cannot stay off you when you have this, just a few drops of this Chutran oil. And one of the things that's in it is blue spruce. And the interesting thing about that is they fed blue spruce in rats and in rodent models. They put blue spruce in the drinking water and saw nearly a doubling of testosterone levels. And so there's all these cool things that you get from pine trees, and in this case, spruce. And yeah, I started using blue spruce after I wrote that article on Shinrin Yoko, because I was like, how can I just like get this all the time? And so it's right next to me right now. It's coming out. I have this little like cylindrical essential oil diffuser on my desk here. And you put like just a little bit of water and a couple drops of oil in there, and then you press a little button on it, and it just like diffuses oil all the time, you know, wherever you're at, your bedroom, your office, wherever.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm in. Yeah. Does your wife approve of this Chutran? Do you wear this around her?
She actually likes it. So I do Chutran, and then the other one that I do is I get vanilla and sandalwood and blend those half and half, right? Just put them in a little dropper bottle, half and half. And she digs that one too. It has a very manly scent, but again, there's no like, you know, most colognes have all the things in them that give you man boobs basically. And so it doesn't have any of those endocrine disruptors in it.
You know, what's funny, I was going to tell you, my wife actually really digs the face wash stuff that you sell. I actually bought a bottle of that stuff.
Oh, the skin serum.
Yeah, the skin serum, it's amazing. It smells awesome. I use it at night, and she loves that. What do you put in there? There's like, it's a combination of like 10 different things, right?
It's got 12 different oils in it, like jojoba and oregano. What I did was I went and found all the oils that have been shown to do things like, you know, decrease wrinkles and, you know, increase the actual tone and color of the skin without actually drying it out, and just put them all into one bottle. And yeah, it's privately bottled for me down in Florida. And then, it's aloe vera and jojoba and triphala and lavender and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, the cool thing is you can, if you hunt down a wrinkle on your face that you can keep track of by looking at it in the mirror each day, and you just put this on your face each day, you can literally watch. If you just identify that one wrinkle, you can watch it disappear over about 30 days as you put the serum on.
It's great stuff. Thanks for making that.
Yeah. Yeah, your check's in the mail, man. Thanks for mentioning it.
Nice. You know, I was going to tell you one other thing, since we're talking about the forest bathing. So after I had read that research, I found this app that is free, that is pretty cool. It's called Wildfulness, Wildfulness. And it's essentially these different scenes kind of like animated that you just launch the app, and it's got like, you know, a deer in the forest that's animated with some raindrops falling down. And these designers went out and built this app. It's a really, really beautiful app.
Oh, yeah.
And put together this really high fidelity audio to go with it that brings in all these sounds from the jungle or the forest or whatever it may be. And so when I can't make it out in nature, I actually have this on my iPhone, and I'd leave it there sitting while I'm working on the computer and just plug in some headphones, and it kind of takes you back there. So maybe I'll combine this with your essential blue spruce oils and be set.
Well, you need to plant like a little tiny baby pine tree on your desk, yeah, and you'll have yeah, everything.
Then I don't ever need to leave the house. Right. Perfect.
Exactly. You'll never need to go into the forest again.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's very similar to this other app I just started using a couple weeks ago called Brain FM. And it lets you choose like
forest
scenes
this.
And rain sounds. The weird thing is you'll set it. I put it on my mom over Christmas and just laid her down, put my little sleep mask on her face, you know, the Bose sound blocking headphones. Cause that's my MO now when I use this app, and it just takes you into like this dreamland. I put her on it for 5 minutes and she thought she was asleep for an hour. When I took off the mask and took off the headphone, she's like, where'd you go? What happened? And it's like that holotropic breathwork you were talking about, right? Like you get into this hallucinogenic, relaxed state almost effortlessly. It's a really interesting app. I'm getting
the little guy
with
the smiling headphones.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting him on the podcast to find out exactly what, cause it's not binaural beats, which is what a lot of these apps are. It's something else. It's some way that they mix the sounds, but it's really interesting, especially when you use it with like noise, like the really nice, like Bose noise blocking headphones, and then like a really good sleep mask. So you're just like drowning out all light and sound, and you just have this one app going. You know, if you only have like 10 minutes to hit the reboot button on your body, it's freaking amazing.
Awesome. So, just downloaded it. Perfect.
Yeah. So Kevin's Journal is what that's called. And I'll put a link to that one, or it's the journal.email, right?
Yeah. It's a dot email domain. So just the journal.email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. I'll link to it. Kevin, you're a wealth of information, man. The show notes for today's episode are going to be a novel. But for those of you listening in, that's part of the fun of these podcasts, where we get people on who have access to all sorts of interesting things and then hook you up with the information. So I'll put everything over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kevin. If you're interested in, I guess, coffee that elephants have pooped out or chocolate ceremonies or anything else that we talked about, or 7-Up, I suppose. We should probably put like an Amazon link for 7-Up on there.
Yeah.
That people
I'll
could,
give you a link.
You could
I'll
add
give you
lithium link. To it and make it just like the old days.
Then you're set. Yeah. I'll give you a link to that that Japanese coffee house too. The only thing is they don't speak English, so you have to be really quiet and respectful when you walk in. It's a little tiny place. But if anyone's visiting Tokyo,
so basically
anytime soon,
no Americans allowed.
That's kind of the vibe when you walk in. So just be really, really cool when you walk in there and not loud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be that Westerner.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing all this stuff with us, man. It's super cool what you're up to, and I'm looking forward to my first delivery of the journal whenever that's going to happen.
It's coming in a couple days.
All right. Sweet, man. I'm looking forward to it. So folks, thank you for listening in. And again, show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kevin. And until next time, I'm Ben Greenfield along with Kevin Rose, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have a healthy week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.